Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Always good to have you. Let's start with a happy note. I think, actually, most everything we're going to talk about today is to some degree a happy note. One happy note is the bridge lights are on. They're on at night. They're brilliant. They're bright. They're red, white, and blue, except for a couple that are not because they're maybe damaged. But they're on, right?
All you have to do is ask. yes, they are on. And I mentioned when we talked about it last week, which was, I guess, must have been our good luck charm, Governor DeSantis had said that the state bridges would be red, white, and blue. We continue to work on the Sunday or Monday after the 4th of July turns to Blue Angels Week, that we get an exception from the governor. So we are working on that. And FDOT is working on that, and I'm kind of at the ready to help if they're running into any issues. But we might have made it. You know, I want to see some consistency before I say mission accomplished. But, we are definitely on the right track. And this could be, that we have consistent lights on our bridge.
Is the goal for Blue Angels blue and gold, or is it something else?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there's blue and gold. And there was actually some settings. I mean, that was pre-planned when they were putting the lights in, those kind of options would be available, including some of the animation stuff. Now, I don't know that that's going to be ready, but at least going blue and yellow should be ready. And then, of course, per the governor's order, it'll be red, white, and blue for the rest of the summer.
Okay. So, and as we know, with these kind of lights, you can program animation or moving or whatever. There's all kinds of things that you can do with them, almost anything you can do with them, really. All right, so I'm gonna take advantage of the opportunity since apparently you have not because you ask not, and if I ask, we have. So the District 4 commission seat, which of course the city of Pensacola is mostly within District 4, might as well ask. Maybe we'll get results. Do you know anything? Has the governor communicated to your office anything? Do you have any insight as to whether we should expect an appointment before the primary or even before the election?
No. I checked in with the appointments office last week, and just if there's a decision or any movement, and the answer was no.
Okay.
So that's where it sits.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of the list has been published. I think there's a lot of good candidates, good options. Obviously, it's not a secret. I mean, I had a letter of support or there's a reference for Jared Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think would do a great job as an appointee. But at the end of the day, that decision rests with the governor. And if, it's too difficult of a decision to make or we're too torn, I do wish that there's that representation in our city right now. There's
things
happening and there's decisions being made. I don't know that that's a good scenario for anyone, state or local or District 4, to not make that decision. But, again, that's out of my purview. So, it doesn't. The last update I received from Tallahassee was no update.
Yeah, and it's also, and just particularly as it relates to Jared, he's, unless he decides to resign to run for commission, which I think looks unlikely, we miss out on the opportunity of having him as a contender. Precisely because he would only likely be in that seat if he gets appointed to it. And I understand the reasons why the governor would be reluctant to act, and I heard some of the stories about why there's inaction, but I always like to check and
right.
See if there's anything that you might have heard, and it sounds like the answer is no, and so we'll keep waiting as we're doing. We're going to get to ST in let's go ahead and start there, because obviously yesterday was a big day for the city of Pensacola. The groundbreaking for Phase 3, we've talked about this all morning because it's obviously a big thing. Just briefly, somebody had asked me to be sure the traffic created by the employees and by the students at the school that's going to be there on the west side, that's all going to go out onto 12th Avenue. That's not going to go onto Langley, right?
That is correct. Every rendering I've seen, every drawing I've seen, and that includes Hangar 3, potential Hangar 4, as well as the A&P Mechanic School that was just approved in that first phase by Triumph. So if you left the airport terminal and you took a right on 12th, I believe you would get to Hangar 4 first, then 3, and then the northernmost, which would be kind of behind the butcher shop there, but not access from Langley, would be the A&P Mechanics School. That would be the northernmost facility. So that's the order. But all of that traffic will be going in and out on 12th Avenue.
You mentioned it just there, potential hangar four. In my mind, this has always been presented as a four hangars plus an administrative building. Of course, we've also now added this schoolhouse that would eventually be 1,725 jobs, $210 million price tag for the whole shebang. But I'm, you know, yesterday you talked about this, that hangar four is, I would say it's in doubt. It's an uncertainty. It's a we don't know. Talk to me a little bit about how much extra money are we talking about? Do we even know? What's the likelihood, if you want to handicap it for me?
Yeah, sure. Again, you know, Hangar 3 is about in the mid-80s, about $83, $85 million. So if we're going off of that working number, not assuming any cost increases when 4 was ready to go, we've got, give or take, about $40 million left. Now, this is not a unique story to Pensacola. This is when you set dollar amounts for hangars in 2014,
yeah.
Voila, we're in 2024 and costs are 30%, 40% up. So again, this is not the fault of anyone in this process or underestimating costs or anything like that. So the decision becomes, okay, well, you know, how do we make up that delta? How do we adapt to that delta? There's conversations about, do we do a hangar 3.5 and look at that, because we certainly would have the funding to do that at least. Do we go back to some of those funding sources? You know, there has been a lot of money put into this project, so there could be some trepidation with that, understandably. So luckily, we don't have to make that decision right now. I think we're going to probably have some preliminary conversations with some folks at some of those different entities and gauge temperature on those types of things, but. At the end of the day, yes, we have a delta, but I do think we've got options regardless of what happens. And if that means we end up with, you know, one less bay than we thought 10 years ago, and maybe that's, 100 less jobs or something like that, and we have to go have those conversations, we'll do that. And if we think there's a path to victory in terms of coming up with $40 million somehow through Triumph or other sources, then certainly we'll explore those. So we do have time to focus on that as we get Hangar 3 going, I'm sure the most logical, pragmatic solution will come to light.
All right. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, I talked with Bill Hafner yesterday. We just played the interview at the top of the hour from ST and asked him the question of, look, obviously you have, clients are beating down the door at ST to get their plane service there. That's not the issue. The issue is having enough employees who are able to do the work, which is why PSC is partnering with them to do this on the grounds, in the hangars, training. I think that's a great program. It just shows the adaptability of PSC to help provide workforce. What's your thought, if you have one, about why we haven't been able to get enough of the employees trained up? I mean, is it lack of awareness that this is out there? Is it lack of interest? I mean, what do you have any thought about why this pipeline of employees hasn't quite been up to the task, at least not yet?
Yeah, I almost feel like a broken record. It's why every time I talk about this project, I talk about the massive, massive importance of that A&P school. Because you can't just, there's some avenues that you can just walk in the door at ST and, start from the ground up and get trained. But until we can start doing that at scale, I mean, think about our housing crisis and how we're trying to, until we get our high school graduates and our kids trained at scale, how are we going to be able to continue to feed that system? So, to be honest with you, I think that if we were to do this over again, probably having the school from day one would have been probably part of the package that would have made the most sense for us. But I mean, hey, there's a lot of money invested in this. I don't blame anybody back then, but knowing what we know now, and honestly, I think the proudest moment from just the city's role in this since I've been there is that we really re-wrangled quarterback to help get PSC and ST at the table, and not just ST at the table, but ST putting up $5 million of scholarships and everything that helped made it pencil for Pensacola State. So we kind of, myself and Erica, we just said we knew how important this was. And so even though it's PSC that's doing the school and it's ST that's investing, this was a little bit dead on the vine for a little while. I don't think we're going to be successful without this school. I just don't. I don't think we can get the kids at scale. So, best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago. Second best is today. I think that's the same scenario here. It would have been great to have this school up and running 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but second best times right now, and that's why we took it so seriously. And I'm as thrilled for that as any part of this project so far.
You know, the other side of this question that I've had a couple of people ask me about is the overall cost, and then therefore the cost per job. And depending on which way you cut the numbers, if you take out ST's contribution, you're talking about somewhere between $70,000 or $100,000 per new job if the price doesn't go up and if we get the total number of 1,725 jobs. And, of course, if those numbers change, then those numbers change. But you inherited this program, and obviously ST's been a good partner. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of businesses that say, well, you know, hey, I'd love to have $80,000 to start jobs per job. Any comments on that, or maybe thoughts about how that would shape our thinking about other potential projects like this in the future?
Yeah, look, one's a question of philosophy, and one's a question of where our feet are, right? So one, philosophically, are we, should we pay this amount per job? What's the success rate been around the country about that? And I think there's some arguments for, and I think there's some arguments against, and, mm-hmm. and both would have some valid points. But here's the good news. Regardless of that, we're all rowing in the same direction. ST Engineering Hangar 3 that you were at is full today. If we finished it at 5 o'clock today, it would be full of planes tomorrow. So here's what we have. We have pent up demand. We have opportunities for jobs for our citizens to be the breadwinner of their family by the time they're 20 or 21 years old as a mechanic. And despite other mentionings to the contrary, the mechanic jobs are very competitive within the market because they have to be. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find a trained mechanic. So the market is dictating what the cost of a mechanic is. ST has a need. The city has a need in creating quality jobs. That's why we paid what we paid for those jobs, I believe, if I'm speaking for 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So we need to see this successful. Would we do this? Would we do that? Should it be 50,000, 70,000 a job? I don't get lost in that. Our eyes are on the prize of making this economic development tactic as successful as possible. So we continue to work with ST on that. We continue to try to create opportunities. We're getting into the high schools and maybe the middle schools now with ST and exposing our kids to that. So before we say, will this work or not work or fair or not fair, I think we have to give it our best shot. And because we won't ever know that if we don't. And so that's what I'm focused on right now.
Very good. And of course, we're already well committed into this. And so, as you say, let's do the best we can to make it work now. Whatever you might say about whether we should have done it in the first place, that's all kind of a moot conversation at this point. Lightning round for you, sir. First question, it's an easy one. Is Dr. Pepper a cola and do you drink it?
Oh, is it a cola? I don't know. Ooh. When I think of cola, I think of like Chet Cola back in the day. I'm going to say no, it's not. But yes, I'll drink a Diet Dr. Pepper every now and then.
Oh, so you're not a cult member. You just once in a while you sample.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yeah, I haven't fallen all the way into the trap.
Yeah, feel some. Not very many people like you. That's good. What is the correct way to eat an Oreo?
I've matured over the years, Andrew. So, I've gone back to the classic sandwich style.
It was presented to you, least challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was more adventurous in my younger days, but every time you ask me these questions, it makes me realize how boring I am. That's honestly, I know that.
A dunk or no dunk?
How do I eat this? How do I cut that? And I'm like, man, I do it like the normal, boring way, I think.
Dunk or no dunk for your Oreo?
If it's available, but I don't go out of my way for that either.
In any case, you're not dunking.
Vanilla, let me give a shout out for vanilla Oreos if you're really.
Oh yeah, no, those are actually
those are hard to stop eating.
They are very good. But in any case, you're not dunking it in Dr. Pepper, right?
No, I don't believe so. I haven't tried it. I'll have to ask you. But,
stay safe on that one. All right, last one, and this is a bit of a what will the politician say? But do you have a favorite? Best local hamburger place?
Man, all of them are so good, Andrew. I mean, I can't choose. I've got a top 100 list.
When you think back to the guy who owned Perfect Plane before he was a politician, what would that guy have said?
I see. Okay. Well, I'm going to keep it. I'll keep it familial. McGuire Martin is my godfather, and I grew
there
up
you go.
McGuire's hamburgers.
That is one of my wife's favorite places too. So it's that they're really really good hamburgers.
I've had more of those than any. So I would say that.
Very good. DC Ree is the mayor of Pensacola, sir. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, AJ.